This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and a great day to get serious about a great and perplexing and polarizing question in this country. What is the proper role of religion in American life? What does American history say about this country's founding? Is it true, as a lot of militant secularists insist, that our founders were a bunch of deists, that they were not Christians, and that they meant this nation to be profoundly and completely secular? Or is the opposite extreme true, that this country was founded by strict Bible-believing Christians who wanted to set up a specifically Christian commonwealth? There are great, great, great misunderstandings about the true history of the United States, about the true nature of the United States, and those misunderstandings lead to no end of unnecessary and sometimes really foolish conflicts in this country. We're going to try to provide a right answer, a balanced answer, an honest answer in this very special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, a broadcast which we offer under the heading, Is America a Christian Nation? That's known as the Thanksgiving hymn, or We Gather Together. People love to hear it, love to sing it. Every Thanksgiving, it's associated with the Pilgrims, whose founding of Plymouth Colony obviously represented one of the beginnings of the American Republic. Were the Pilgrims deists? Well, we will get to that. I want to go back to the very beginning and why this question about the true nature of the founders and of the founding and of America's history is so tortured and so important to get right. And to get this straight, let's go back to, not so distant history, just to 2004, with the re-election of President Bush. President Bush, because he was an outspoken Christian, produced all kinds of extreme reactions. And following his re-election, there was a flurry of books and articles that all warned everybody about the imminent takeover of this cherished republic by an all-powerful, implacable, theocratic conspiracy. Just to give you one example, there was a book by a New York Times correspondent, Chris Hedges, called American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. And what Chris Hedges said is, all it will take is one more national crisis on the order of September 11th, for the Christian right to make a concerted drive to destroy American democracy. This movement will not stop until we are all ruled by biblical law. An authoritarian church intrudes in every aspect of our life. Women stay at home and rear children. Gays agree to be cured. Abortion is considered murder. The press and the schools promote positive, in quotes, Christian values. The federal government is gutted. War becomes our primary form of communication with the rest of the world. And recalcitrant non-believers see their flesh eviscerated at the sound of the Messiah's voice. For you Christians out there, is that exactly what you have in mind? According to Chris Hedges, who was actually a surprisingly genial guest on my radio show, it makes no sense to try to reason with the so-called Christian fascists. Quote, all debates with the Christian right, he writes, are useless because they hate the liberal, enlightened world formed by the Constitution. Is that true? Is there some major Christian conspiracy to undo the work of the founders and to undermine the Constitution? Well, scores of other recent releases from major publishers sought to arouse the nation's slumbering conscience to confront the perils of the group that was known as the American Taliban. Now, that's just an insult. Nobody ever here has called themselves the American Taliban, except for some Al-Qaeda sympathizers. The titles of these books that are supposed to warn people about the dangers of Christian takeover include the blockbuster bestseller, American Theocracy, that's by Kevin Phillips, plus additional cheery volumes such as Jesus is Not a Republican, The Religious Rights War on America, and The Baptizing of America, The Religious Rights Plans for the Rest of Us, and Why the Christian Right is Wrong, and Liars for Jesus, and The Theocon, Secular America Under Siege, and The Hijacking of Jesus, and many, many, many more. Now, you look back from the perspective of the Obama era, and some of these books seem incredibly dated. People may not today believe, come on, we're not on the verge of some kind of Christian theocratic takeover. But still, there are many observers who continue to expect Christian conservatives to eventually attempt to remake America along the lines of Iran or Nazi Germany, while others actually suggest that Christian conservatives are just going to follow the genocidal path of communist China. This is unbelievable. In reviewing the Oscar-nominated documentary Jesus Camp, an awful movie, by the way, Stephen Holden of the New York Times solemnly declared, quote, "It wasn't so long ago that another puritanical youth army, Mao Zedong's Red Guards, turned the world's most populous country inside out. Nowadays, the possibility of a right-wing Christian American version of what happened in China no longer seems entirely far-fetched." Can you spell paranoia? Paul Krugman, who's yet another acclaimed commentator for the New York Times, argues that the theocrats will seize power through quiet subversion. Here's a quote. "The infiltration of the federal government by large numbers of people seeking to impose a religious agenda, which is very different from simply being people of faith, is one of the most important stories of the last 6 years." He's talking about the Bush administration, of course. "It's also a story that tends to go unreported, perhaps because journalists are afraid of sounding like conspiracy theorists. But this conspiracy is no theory," end quote. Krugman then provided a series of purportedly chilling examples, even asking his no-doubt nervous readers, "Did you know that Rachel Palouse, the U.S. attorney in Minnesota, three of whose deputies recently stepped down reportedly in protest over her management style, is, according to a local news report, in the habit of quoting Bible verses in the office?" End quote. Now, of course, another Midwestern attorney named Abraham Lincoln famously indulged precisely that same habit in every office he ever occupied, very much including the White House. He prominently featured scriptural citations, including "a house divided against itself cannot stand," in many of his most celebrated public utterances, though Lincoln's contemporaries found plenty of reasons to criticize or dismiss this cagey politician from Illinois. None of them ever attacked him for inappropriately inserting religious sentiments into public discourse. Why not? Because Americans of the 1860s understood and accepted the Christian values and the Christian vision that had shaped this republic in the 67 years of its initial existence. Contemporary hysterics who try to terrify the public all about the religious rights war against America base their scare stories on a widely touted lie that our founders meant to establish a secular nation, not a Christian one. Now, if nothing else, the alarmists have to judge our constitutional framers as miserable failures, since the nation they launched remains by far the most Christian and the least secular society in the developed world. Recent polling shows 73% of Americans believe in the existence of hell, 70% prefer presidential candidates who are strongly religious, and clear majorities refuse to support an atheist for the highest office. Some 80% of our fellow citizens currently identify themselves as Christian of one sort or another, so the public rightly sees America as a Christian nation, in the same sense that India is a Hindu nation and Mexico is a Catholic nation, even though those two countries, like the USA, don't provide governmental endorsement for a single official faith.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. Is America a Christian nation?
politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVed Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVed History Store by 50%.
Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Michael Medved Show.
You're listening to a special edition of the Michael Medved Show. Is America a Christian nation? And you're also listening in the background there to the music of Chester. That's the main marching tune of the American Revolution. It's based on a church hymn. More on that later. And I should say that a lot of the material that you're going to be sharing with me today is based on my own book, The 10 Big Lies About America. And that was a bestseller back in 2008, 2009. And Big Lie Number 3 was the big lie that says the founders intended a secular, not a Christian nation. So it's pretty clear what the founders actually intended. They intended a Christian nation, but a secular government. Now, how did that happen? And how is that balance supposed to work? Well, we'll see. Talking about the present day, in keeping with widely embraced notions about the religious essence of the U.S., a September 2007 poll by the nonpartisan First Amendment Center showed that fully 55% of respondents agreed with a statement that, quote, the Constitution establishes a Christian nation. When asked about that survey in an interview with BeliefNet, John McCain, who was then running for president, responded, I would probably have to say yes, that the Constitution established the United States of America as a Christian nation. But I say that in the broadest sense. The lady that holds her lamp beside the golden door doesn't say, I only welcome Christians. We welcome the poor, the tired, the huddled masses. But when they come here, they know that they are in a nation founded on Christian principles. Despite the cautious and qualified tone of Senator McCain's remarks, enraged partisans leaped at the chance to attack him. The executive director of the National Jewish Democratic Council, an advocacy group for Democratic Party candidates, called the senator's statements repugnant, while the general counsel of the mainstream American Jewish Committee declared that, quote, to argue that America is a Christian nation puts the very character of the country at stake. So you know where they stand. Meanwhile, Charles Haynes, who is senior scholar at the Freedom Forum's First Amendment Center, made the most sweeping and the most profoundly misleading comments. Regarding the poll that provoked the McCain dust-up in the first place, Haynes noted that its results, quote, suggest that a great many people have deeply misunderstood the Constitution. The framers clearly wanted to establish a secular nation, end quote. Now, this contention isn't just confused. It isn't just unfocused. It is appallingly. It is demonstrably. It is inarguably. It is absolutely wrong. In fact, it's one of the 10 big lies about American history. Militant separationists of the past 50 years embrace this fanciful notion that they alone can discern the true intentions of the founding generation, intentions that remain miraculously hidden to all scholars, jurists, and politicians of the first century and a half of our nation's history, and not least to the founding fathers themselves. The whole chain of twisted reasoning regarding our allegedly secular heritage depends on a series of ludicrous myths and distortions that must give way to a few fundamental, but to religion haters, uncomfortable truths. Number one, the earliest settlers came to establish, not to escape, devoutly Christian societies. Number two, the founders worried about government's interference with religion far more than they did about religious influence on government. In fact, they viewed fervent religious faith as an indispensable component of any healthy society. And number three, separationist extremists, not Christian conservatives, seek the radical transformation of the nation and its institutions, overturning long-established constitutional balance in the process. Okay, one basic thing to understand from the very beginning. The people who founded this country, who came here from Great Britain, were seeking purity, not tolerance. The myth of America as a secular haven from the faith-based fanaticism of Europe rests on the widespread and erroneous assumption that the first colonists fled to the New World to escape religious persecution. We've all heard that. School children who celebrate the traditional Thanksgiving holiday learn that the pilgrims boarded the Mayflower in pursuit of the freedom to practice their faith, a pretty and politically correct spin that obscures some of the essential elements of the crucial story of the Plymouth colony. The pilgrims escaped from England in 1608, and then they found complete freedom in Holland 12 years before they set sail for their destiny in Massachusetts. They left the Netherlands not because that nation imposed too many religious restrictions, but because the Dutch, the most tolerant country in all of Europe, honored too few religious restrictions. The pluralism and the tolerance they found in Amsterdam and Leiden horrified the pilgrims. They were separatists who preferred an isolated situation in the wilderness that facilitated the building of a unified, disciplined, strictly devout religious utopia, not some wide-open haven for believers of every stripe. The pilgrims earn our admiration and even our love because of their courage and idealism, but their religious outlook hardly qualifies as broad-minded. Like the other stalwart believers who followed, they came to the New World seeking purity, not freedom. A decade after Plymouth's founding, the Puritans pursued similar purposes in establishing the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Succeeding generations, famously including President Ronald Reagan, have cherished the shipboard sermon of the leader of that settlement, the Puritan Massachusetts, John Winthrop. John Winthrop exhorted the settlers in biblical terms, quote, "For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us." In addition to the warmer, fuzzier passages of this immortal exhortation, "For this end we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must entertain each other in brotherly affection," Winthrop also included words to indicate the unabashedly theocratic plans for the new colony. "When God gives a special commission, he looks to have it strictly observed in every article." That's John Winthrop speaking. In no sense did the New England pioneers intend to establish communities for each individual to follow the dictates of his own conscience or for the private promptings of the Holy Spirit. Winthrop explained, quote, "The end is to improve our lives, to do more service to the Lord, the comfort and increase of the body of Christ, whereof we are members, that ourselves and posterity may be better preserved from the common corruptions of this evil world, to serve the Lord and work out our salvation under the power and purity of his holy ordinances." That's the basis under which they started Massachusetts. But what about the other colonies? Did they have some Christian intentions, or were people just coming to make a buck? Well, there were lots of people who came to make a buck, but even those people, as you will see, came to found communities and a nation that would be specifically Christian. We'll get to that story and more in this special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, Is America a Christian Nation?
You're listening to a special history broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. Is America a Christian Nation? For more history shows, go to medvedhistorystore.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A federal appeals court is denying the Trump campaign's appeal in its Pennsylvania case, striking another blow to the president's legal avenues to contest the outcome of the election. Ahead of two key Senate runoffs, President Trump says he'll be visiting the Peach State.
We're going to have a tremendous crowd. They're looking for the right site. Probably we'd love to take one of the big stadiums, but you can't because of the COVID. So we'll have an outdoor form of probably an airport. Most likely it's an airport. They're looking for the biggest space. And we'll have, you know, tens of thousands of people show up. But I think it's very important. And then I may go a second time.
The driving force behind Iran's nuclear program is dead after an apparent assassination. Iran's defense ministry confirming that he died after assailants targeted him with a car bomb and then shot him. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Michael Medved Show.
You're listening to a special broadcast of The Michael Medved Show. Is America a Christian nation? And part of the attempt to deny America's Christian heritage has to do with this effort to say that, well, people who came to this country actually came to escape religious faith, came to escape religious persecution. But that's a complete distortion. If you look at the Mayflower Compact, if you look at John Winthrop's speech, his famous City on a Hill sermon on board his flagship in Boston Harbor just before they started out the Massachusetts Bay Colony, they came, as John Winthrop said, to serve the Lord and work out our salvation under the power and purity of His holy ordinances. And they enforced those holy ordinances, including rules of Sabbath observance, all kinds of rules of personal morality. It was also required for people to go to church and not to sleep during sermons. That can be a challenge. I mean, it can. But they were very serious about it in colonial America. Now, somebody here is going to say, well, not everywhere. What about Jamestown? Well, Jamestown, which was founded, of course, 13 years before the Pilgrims came to Plymouth, and almost a whole generation before they set up the Massachusetts Bay Colony in Boston, Jamestown was not specifically founded as a religious experiment. However, the people who started that colony were also deeply religious and felt that part of the reason they were coming to the New World was not just to get rich, but was to advance the Christian faith. For instance, at the first landing of the original Jamestown expedition, that would be April 26th, 1607. Can you imagine more than 400 years ago? On that day, when they landed for the first time in the New World, the captain of their ship, Christopher Newport, took it upon himself to erect the colony's very first structure. It was a large cross at Cape Henry that was used to mark their arrival. Kind of expect in the scene as they're erecting this cross in the New World, some Indian from the ACLU to jump out of the bushes. Hey, you can't put that here. This is, no, well, that didn't happen. And the cross actually stood and was replenished and restored for many years. So what about the other colonies, all of the other New England colonies, except for Rhode Island. Rhode Island was a breakaway from Massachusetts and was a breakaway partially, yes, for religious tolerance. Rhode Island, they welcomed religious believers of every stripe, which is one of the reasons that the oldest continual Jewish congregation in the country was founded in Newport, because they were welcomed in Rhode Island. In any event, all of the New England colonies, except for Rhode Island, carved homes out of the wilderness on the same devoutly Christian basis. They aimed to establish model religious communities that would be more rigorous and restrictive, not more open and accepting, than the corrupt, politicized Church of England that they left behind. Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, and later Vermont and Maine strictly enforced Sabbath rules, mandated attendance at worship services, and yes, they used tax money to support religious seminaries, prominently including Harvard and Yale. All of this was befitting Christian commonwealths. If anything, the New England colonists distrusted and defied the Church of England for its backsliding and its compromises rather than its vigorous imposition of religious standards. They built remarkably successful self-governing settlements, but no one could describe their colonies as living laboratories of religious freedom. Between 1658 and 1660, in fact, Massachusetts authorities hanged four Quaker missionaries, including a woman, Mary Dyer, because they had defied repeated arrests and banishments to try to spread their heretical ideas in a society that considered those ideas unacceptably sinful. Of the original 13 colonies, 10 mentioned religious purposes in their founding documents. Even Virginia, where most of the early settlers seemed to care more about finding gold than finding God, received an initial charter from King James that described a mandate for, quote, the propagating of Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness. Delaware's charter explicitly commands further propagation of the Holy Gospel. Other denominations, Quakers in Pennsylvania, Catholics in Maryland, founded their colonies not to create secular or diverse environments, but to provide denominational havens for their co-religionists. Even in the Dutch settlement of New Amsterdam, which became New York in 1665. The Director General, Peter Stuyvesant, remember him? He was the son of a minister, and he attempted to impose the dictates of his Calvinist faith, ruthlessly driving out Quakers and only reluctantly accepting one boatload of Jews. Among the original colonists, only Roger Williams' quirky Rhode Island made a consistent priority of religious tolerance. So what happened to create the First Amendment? We'll get to that and more on this special broadcast. Whatever the controversies, whatever the surprises in the world around us at the moment, it's important to get some perspective, and no better source of perspective than the history of this great country. At MedVedHistoryStore.com, check out some of the titles we have on offer about the Constitution, about the origins of our tax system, about the history of third parties. Enrich your understanding and appreciation with CDs and MP3 downloads at MedVedHistoryStore.com. You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, America's number one show on politics, pop culture, and U.S. history. This special broadcast entitled, Is America a Christian Nation? And coming up to a subheading called Fighting for Sanctity, Not Separation. Okay, those who maintain that our founding fathers fought our revolution in part to ensure separation of church and state have to somehow explain the favorite marching song of the Continental Army. Okay, the much better known Yankee Doodle became widely popular only after the Revolutionary War. But in the midst of the fighting, George Washington's men more commonly sang a song called Chester. It's an amazingly stirring 1770 hymn written by the Boston composer William Billings. Now, the lyrics, apparently written by Billings himself, placed the whole bloody conflict in a frankly religious perspective.
Let tyrants shake their iron rod, and slavery bear their galling chains. We'll fear them not, we trust in God, New England's God forever.
Okay, this song goes on to note that God inspired us for the fight against the Redcoats' infernal league, before concluding with a verse that says, "What grateful offering shall we bring? What shall we render to the Lord? Loud hallelujahs let us sing, and praise his name on every chord." Now, the reference to his name, it's not necessarily a reference to George Washington. It's a reference to the father of the whole world, not just the country. In 2008, you may remember HBO did a superb miniseries called John Adams, and it appropriately shows John and Abigail Adams, played by Paul Giamatti and Laura Linney, singing part of this hymn in church in the early days of the struggle. And it says a great deal about the Revolutionary Army that they transformed this church hymn directly into a marching song, the most popular marching song for the American troops. John's cousin, Samuel Adams, also embraced the sentiments of the song as one of the most radical and simultaneously one of the most ardently religious of all the revolutionary leaders. His colleagues in the Continental Congress, whose name was Dr. Benjamin Rush, wrote of Sam Adams, "He considered national happiness and the public patronage of religion as inseparably connected. And so great was his regard for public worship as the means of promoting religion that he constantly attended divine service in the German church in Yorktown while the Congress sat there, although he was ignorant of the German language." Okay, this is a level of religious devotion that few people could muster. He didn't speak any German at all. But when they had to leave Philadelphia because they were driven out by the British and they went to York, Pennsylvania, Sam Adams went to the German church because it was the only one he felt comfortable going to, even though he couldn't understand.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at the Medved Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
I love good movies, like a romantic comedy called About Time from 7 years ago. It's a great movie about romance and about family, really, and father and son relations, much more. Problem with it is there's a little bit of content you may not want to share with your children. That's where ClearPlay comes in. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, particularly right now during this time of pandemic, ClearPlay can set you up to watch the movies you want to see without violence, without profanity, or without other content that you would choose to remove. You make the settings up yourself. It's truly ingenious. Go to clearplay.com to learn more, and you can enjoy About Time with Margot Robbie, Rachel McAdams, and more. Check it out at clearplay.com because ClearPlay loves good movies.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
The Michael Medved Show.
This same combination of fierce religiosity and fearless commitment to the independence cause occurred again and again and again among the American patriots. To a great extent, they represented the controversial and the impassioned religious right of their time. Those who held more moderate, tolerant, relaxed religious views or embraced the conventional mainstream Church of England more likely took their place among the Tories who supported the crown. Or else they joined that one-third of colonists, according to the famous estimate of John Adams, who remained neutral or undecided in the great struggle. The independence fighters had been disproportionately touched by the fervor of the Great Awakening, that explosion of Christian enthusiasm and revival inspired in the previous generation by visiting British evangelists such as George Whitefield and the Wesley brothers. During the Revolutionary War, fighting pastors became so numerous that the British made fun of them with reference to their dark robes as the Black Regiment. In The Light and the Glory, Peter Marshall and David Manuel tell the story of Peter Muhlenberg, the 30-year-old pastor of a German-American Lutheran church in Virginia's picturesque Shenandoah Valley, where my wife's family comes from, by the way. On a Sunday morning after the fighting had begun in Massachusetts in 1775, Reverend Muhlenberg took as the text for his sermon the celebrated line from Ecclesiastes 3:1, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." He concluded his presentation with a solemn prayer, then raised his voice and continued to speak. "In the language of the Holy Writ, there is a time for all things. There is a time to preach and a time to fight." He paused for maximum impact, then he shocked the congregation by throwing off his pulpit robe to reveal the freshly made uniform of a colonel in the Continental Army. "And now is the time to fight," he roared. "Roll the drums for recruits." That same afternoon, Pastor Muhlenberg marched off toward Boston at the head of a column of 300 men. Now, this regiment became the celebrated 8th Virginia, with the pastor himself reaching general's rank as commander of Washington's 1st Light Infantry Brigade. The American revolutionaries saw their battlefield and their political opponents not only as enemies of liberty, but as enemies of God himself. And they emphasized religious revival as an essential component of potential victory. Dr. John Witherspoon, who is the esteemed religious scholar and president of the College of New Jersey, which has become known more recently as Princeton University, he wrote a widely distributed 1776 pamphlet declaring that he is the best friend to American liberty who is most sincere and active in promoting true and undefiled religion, and who sets himself with the greatest firmness to bear down on profanity and immorality of every kind. Whoever is an avowed enemy of God, I scruple not to call him an enemy of his country. George Washington similarly viewed Christian commitment as an indispensable means for rallying the troops and securing the blessings of Providence. The day after he took command of the Continental Army outside of Boston in 1775, he issued a general order proclaiming that the general most earnestly requires and expects of all officers and soldiers not engaged in actual duty a punctual attendance of divine services to implore the blessings of heaven for the means used for our safety and defense. Throughout the war, Washington seemed obsessed with organizing his men in prayer and suppressing profane cursing, swearing, and drunkenness, in part by ordering regular days of fasting for Thanksgiving. So what did the ACLU of the time do about it? Actually, there was no ACLU at that time. There were people who were fighting and dying to protect real religious liberty. And what does that mean? We'll get to that and more in this special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show.
Hey, this is Rockstar Greg with the Michael Medved Show. Thanks for listening to the special history broadcast. If you want even more content from Michael Medved, go to our website, michaelmedved.com, and consider becoming a Medhead. And there's so much content available. The 3-hour daily broadcast, commercial-free, hundreds of commentaries, 2 new podcasts, private chats with Michael, and lots more. It's all at michaelmedved.com. Click on the Medhead subscription and become a member. Thanks for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Today's media tend to focus on alarming news while ignoring or distorting encouraging indicators all around us. A recent development trumpeted in the New York Times with the headline "Frozen in Place" reported that Americans moved to new homes at the lowest rate on record. The Wall Street Journal also decried this trend, calling baby boomers the biggest culprits for declining to downsize and causing a sluggish housing market. Actually, a tendency to remain long-term in one home is an indication of growing stability that can contribute to the development of more meaningful community ties. In the past, sociologists fretted over American restlessness and rootlessness with our citizens shifting to new homes twice as quickly as they do today. But this recent trend towards stability represents a positive change, and the media decision to complain about it is just another sign that we don't have a news business in America. We have a bad news business. I'm Michael Medved. You're listening to an authentic arrangement of the most popular marching tune of the American Revolution, favored by the Continental Army. It's called Chester. And as we discussed, this was an arrangement of a very popular church hymn that became this popular march. Church hymn, Chester, by William Billings, great Boston composer. He wrote it in 1770. And it shows you something, particularly in this beautiful rendition, authentic rendition, by the Fifes and Drums of Colonial Williamsburg, on a CD they've produced called Echoes of Revolution. And they strive for authenticity, so do we, with our whole series of special Michael Medved history CDs, downloads, and broadcasts. If you want a copy of this particular broadcast, Is America a Christian Nation?, or any of our other history broadcasts, you should call Tree Farm Communications. That's a 1-800-468-0464, 1-800-468-0464. Or go to our website, Michael Medved, M-E-D-V as in victory, E-D.com. And I should also say that a large part of this broadcast, most of it, in fact, is based on my best-selling book from 2008-2009, The 10 Big Lies About America, Combating Destructive Distortions About Our Nation. And autographed editions of that book will also be available from our website. We're speaking before about General Washington. And it was not just that his troops marched forward into battle to a marching tune that references God, New England's God, and faith, and offerings to God, but he was also deeply obsessed with prayer and with religious faith as an element in victory. In 1778, he issued a typical general order, which announced, "The Commander-in-Chief directs that divine service be performed every Sunday at 11 o'clock in each brigade which has a chaplain. While we are duly performing the duty of good soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of a patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of a Christian. That's George Washington, not in church, not in private, but as a general order, as commander-in-chief of the army. So where do people get this absurd idea that our founding fathers were allergic to religion? Or that the founding fathers, including Thomas Jefferson, were really deists who didn't believe that God played an active role in human affairs? Or that Thomas Paine was universally and unequivocally against religion? If he was, why did he feel that religion must be taught in public schools? We will get to all of that and go to the true reason for the First Amendment mandating a secular government in a Christian nation. That true reason was defending unity, not secularism. That and more in this special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. Is America a Christian nation? Essential that people recognize the facts that we are laying out here. The truth about the true history and heritage of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. Exit polls from the 2020 election show signs of a stronger Republican Party building a broader base. The Trump campaign focused on winning black, Latino, and Asian votes and, to a surprising extent, succeeded. President Trump's percentage of black voters rose by 50% compared to 2016, and among Latino males, he scored a competitive 36%. The GOP also saw a surge in Jewish support from 24% to 31%. A rise that played a role in Trump's Florida victory. In another area, Republicans still have work to do. Self-described moderate voters, 40% of the overall electorate, picked Biden over Trump by nearly 2-1. Yes, conservatives are more numerous than liberals, so we can win without outright majorities among the moderates. But Republicans win best as a right-center coalition, and moderate shouldn't be treated as a dirty word. I'm Michael Medved.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.